I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. On this edition, I talk with the folks at Tsunami Books. People have been talking about the downfall of the physical bookshop for more than a decade, dating back to an era when major chains like Borders and Walden Books were shutting down, and the remaining industry giant, Barnes & Noble, started closing stores. But it's hard to say that there's been much of a downturn for books in Eugene, where several independent bookstores dot the business community. Tsunami Books has been a longtime stalwart of the city's book scene, and it has made headlines in recent weeks with a unique ask of its customers: help us buy our Willamette Street building. Tsunami dates back to 1995, when original owners Peter Ogura and David Rhodes opened the shop in a building that, at that time, was approaching 50 years old. Ogura eventually exited the business. His exit made way for Scott Landfield, who we'll be hearing from a lot today. We'll also be hearing from two other employee owners, Emily Poole and Steve Ellerhoff. Scott starts by taking us back to when he made a career change and became a bookstore owner with David Rhodes.
I was a tree planter. I'd been planting trees for 20 years and reading and writing, and I was good friends with both of these fellas. Dave asked me, hey, buy them out. We'll get rich. So
that's something you don't hear these days. Let's get rich selling books.
Yeah, I was a simple guy. I'd been out in the woods, you know. People could take me. They still can take me. That's one reason why I don't like being in charge. I like groups. So 30 years, you know, we've been building it. Dave and I worked side by side for 12 years. Still best friends. He's still a shareholder and occasionally a worker owner here, although he's in New Mexico. And we just keep growing, you know. We started basically with nothing. High interest loan on a house, which I lost, and $500. We built the whole thing out of recycled product. We basically, our theory was energy equals capital, which is the opposite of the modern way of doing it. Either capital equals capital or debt equals capital. We thought that human energy would do it. And it's actually done very well over the years. It's a slow growth under those circumstances.
We've heard plenty of mention already. I'm guessing this shop is organized under somewhat of a co-op style then, when your employees, you know, are introduced as, you know, workers/owners, and that's how you introduce yourself. Is that the case?
I don't know about co-op. That was a word that people were using when we first formed 29, 30 years ago. There were a lot of co-ops in this town. I prefer to call it worker-owner. And it's sort of middle ground between just that the hierarchical and, you know, where unions step in, let the workers have some say. When I first got here in 78, there were probably 60 worker cooperatives, worker owner situations in town. It was very hip. People were coming from all over the world to experiment with it here. I happened to join up with the Hodads, which were up to 600 people at one point, woods workers, all muscle. When we wanted to do something, we had the brains. We had people from Oxford. We had Oxford brains, and we had world-class athlete muscles. This is a sort of middle ground. Co-ops also have problems. You know, democracy is a sticky subject.
I will turn to you two here then. What does it mean to get to have some say beyond just the voice of an employee and what you kind of earn through respect from your bosses in your workplace?
Tsunami really is a community business, you know? It's a community. People have called it an icon. We've had some musicians come through who travel the country and the world and said, we're playing Tsunami, it's an icon. They brought that word to us. But to be brought in, I've been here for 5.5 years, and it opened up Eugene to me, you know, being brought in as somebody who works here. So part of the whole bookstore is mostly used books. People always say, wow, what a great curated bunch of books you've got here on your shelves. And I always say partly that's the discerning eyes of book buyers here, but also it's just Eugene is a city of readers who have really great taste. So you're looking at the used books of a city with just the best taste in books. So we're very lucky to be where we are and living in this community.
Moving into a worker ownership structure actually didn't really change the feel of very much for me, because we've always made decisions by committee and we've always had more of a group attitude on the staff than just like that hierarchical managerial structure. So it just sort of felt like the natural next step to the way we were already operating within the store.
Bookstores have been something that from the 90s and 2000s, there's been quite a contraction in these shops. You have probably in part because one of the biggest retailers in the world, if not the biggest, Amazon, started as an online bookseller. How has this shop managed to make it through that and continue to just be, as people have evidently told you, an icon?
Well, in a way, we're all gig workers here. That makes a big, you know, we can't just do it with one thing. We can't do it with floor-to-ceiling used books like the old days. We can't do it with all new books because we're not financed. That takes major finance these days. So we do a little bit of everything. We serve the community in any way we can, either through political, through readings, through theater, through music. Every one of these brings in a little bit of money. Yeah. Many hats. The good thing about gig working here is you might do three or four real jobs in a day, including stagehand, without leaving the building.
So, how do you two like getting to have some of that rotation in your life that, you know, maybe it's the kind of job that when you walk in, you kind of go, okay, what's in store today?
Oh, yeah. One of the things we do is we do sell books online, you know, used books. So one of my favorite things is when I get here in the morning, you know, what did the net bring in last night, and sort of see what books, got to go hunting for them around in our little cubbies that we have here and there. There are lots of collections around the store where the used books are, and then send them out. We had one go today to Latvia. An academic book called Hybridity. There's a buyer in Latvia who got a book from Tsunami Books today. That's pretty cool. And you just never know. There was another one today was Flying Saucerama, which looked like quite a great read.
Where did that go?
Where did that one go? I think that one went to Ohio. So, you know, mostly we're talking other states in the country, but some of them go abroad.
That's something I wouldn't have, necessarily expected. But man, when you get those quasi rare books, people are willing to probably do some serious lengths and look for quite a few places to try and find them.
People have come from all over the world to Eugene. Eugene is an icon. Everybody knows the name Eugene around the world, but they come here with their books. Sometimes that's all they have, is their books. Remarkable collections. I saw a collection that came from North Dakota yesterday, 95 years ago. Still in the same shelves, had been dusted twice a year.
We're going to take a break. I'm Zach Ziegler, and you're listening to Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC.
I'm Barbara Dellenbach, host of KLCC's Oregon Grapevine. Ginevra Ralph is one of the founders of Eugene's Shed Institute. She says the variety of music performed reflects many perspectives.
People say, what's your favorite music? It's like, whatever we just did or whatever we're doing next. I want to hear it all. And I want to know where it came from. And I want to know how to talk to other people about it and who their influences were.
Music, advocacy for hearing loss, and building community on the latest Oregon Grapevine at klcc.org.
We're back. I'm Zach Ziegler, and this is Oregon Rainmakers. My conversation with Tsunami Books' Scott Landfield, Steve Ellerhoff, and Emily Poole continues.
The big thing that has brought this shop onto the minds of many people is you're making an effort to buy this building that, you know, you've been in for quite a while now. Tell me what spurred that on at this moment.
Well, this little thing called a war occurred. Actually, it was a very dark moment. Steve and I were keeping up to date on all the news of the world. We do that as booksellers. And we showed up a Saturday, and the war had broke out. We heard about a girls' school in Iran that was blown up in the first wave. And I have daughters. I have a great relationship with endless young women, old women, all women. I couldn't take it. And the store was full of people. All for 3 days. For 3 days, it was packed. It was just like pre-COVID. People were getting books. They were in the store. They were quiet. They had faraway looks in their eyes. They were getting stacks of books. And we had to be supportive. We had to be friendly. We had to maybe even make people laugh when we could. And after 3 days, personally, I was toast. I felt my mind going. And the ideas of secure your home front and peace dividend came into my mind. I had to do something. And I made the radical call at that moment, what are we going to do? Well, let's secure the home front. Let's get the building to where we've got work here. People want it here. Absolutely, there's no question about it. Let's make it to where it is ours. Small business should own their buildings. Well, what if you're poor? What if you're an average American? The money just went to a bomb. My mind wasn't right, and I needed a direction. I picked it, announced it, and then I came to to my coworkers and mentioned it, and they were supportive. It was unilateral. It was not the best move to be unilateral, but I'm very happy to have done it and happy for the reaction. And now people come in, they're like, how's buying the property going? And they're smiling. They've got a direction. And we've had over 1,000 people who have chipped in already. And it's just beginning. It's only been 6 weeks.
So as you two are maybe manning the register or walking around putting things back on shelves, what's the general reaction? What's the vibe you get from customers talking about this?
Support. This being such a community place and sort of, it's almost like the town square, I learn more here from people coming in and telling me what's going on in Eugene and the rest of it than I do from any other avenue in my life. So the support has been great. People ask about it. People coming by, dropping $10 in. I think the fantasy is kind of this idea of 100,000 people dropping $10 in. And people come in and they ask, like, how many tens have you got today? We have people come, how many $10 bills have come in? And somebody else coming in going, oh, put a 20 in. They're like, this is for two people, that's what I'm hearing.
And there's no qualms about taking $10. I don't have a single feeling. People are writing bigger checks. People are very serious, and I feel obligated and a sense of duty, and just accepting it as a gift too is an art. But $10, I'll hit on anybody in America. I'll hit on anybody in the world for $10 to get this building, into what it is for as long as South Eugene is around. Why not? We have friendly owners who. Somebody came in with this idea. This is not a unique idea. Someone came in with this idea 2 years ago, a good friend of the store, and we talked to the building owner, and the building owners were like, yeah, sure, that sounds fine. It didn't quite work out. Money like this, you're always weaving with. But there was the idea. We're not attached to owning this building. This is not a money thing. I don't hear a word about us, how it's going to play out in numbers for each of us personally. It's more responsibility. What we want is this building kept in what it is. And if we are starting a movement that goes beyond us, great, great. We'd love to. Land trusts. Land trust is an option I've heard about. Small LLC, small compatible LLC. I have heard these terms used by lawyers who and accountants who we're talking with. If we can raise all that money in $10 bills real quick, well, then we'll have to think about something else. But there's lots of options. Number one, get the building.
For you two, do you feel like knowing that this will be here in perpetuity, does it change anything from that perspective? You don't have to worry about, oh, the owner decides I'm getting too old, it's time to sell this off. It ends up in the hands of some corporation and they say, you know, I'm thinking we might level that and, you know, drop a Starbucks there. Does it help you with any feelings about that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been here 10 years in October, and we've spent that much of your life building something and helping watch it run, you wonder what the future is going to hold. So it would be so wonderful to see it keep going on our behalf and on behalf of the community, because during all my time here, I've seen what it means to so much more than just the staff members. We've had engagements here. We've mourned members of the community here. Countless memorials have happened in this building as it is now. And to see it leveled or sold off for some other purpose would take a piece of memory from not just the people who've dedicated years of their lives to the business, but to all the people who have really important memories stored here in this building.
It's odd how quickly a particular building feels like it becomes a part of you and your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was, we had a woman came in from Berkeley the other day and fell in love, and she was kind of showing the status of the Berkeley bookstore. She said, oh, this is a fascinating store. I love it. And I'm from Berkeley. So that's a bellwether for people like us. But she talked about she was a member of an artist's collective there for 30, 40, 50 years, and the old guy died. And the big developers all wanted it. It was choice property. It was going for top dollar. And the community said no. And finally, a couple of artists with a lot of money stepped up just last year, and they purchased the building. It's there. It's an old, funky building that could stay old and funky for a long darn time. You know, we have brand new buildings all over town that they're squashing. Yeah. So the fact that this is old has nothing to do with it. It's a decent building.
Yeah, it's from that era when they knew how to build things.
They did, yeah. You know, guys just got out of the war. It's 1949. We got a back door here, a garage door. Apparently, they used to bring trucks in here. And we were going to tear it out when we were remodeling. And we looked at it. We're like, oh, my God, this thing was built. And it was 1949 steel, 1949 wood. And we've kept it. And people have tried to break in the back. They can't get through the door.
You come in and see some scratches, and then they just kind of go, nah.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, one thing that people always kind of wonder about with this, it's like, okay, typically if you've got someone who's looking for donations, it's something like a nonprofit, a school, something along those lines. You know, this is a functioning business. What's the case for making that donation to a business, to a corporation?
That's a very good question, and it's asked all the time. People have done it here before to extreme extents. That's another reason for asking for $10. Nonprofits are overrated, I think, as far as giving. Their tax breaks are wonderful, but what kind of tax break do you get on a $100 bill? What kind of tax break do you get on a $10 bill? Bigger ones, well. And we are also working with, we're talking with organizations where we may be able to tie some nonprofit giving. If we can find a proper land trust who wants to partner with us, all this money that is being raised, well, yes, it's coming out of people's pockets, but it would go straight to the land trust. You know, we don't want to be paying taxes on it. You know, I mean, we're just workers here. We're not all, none of us own two houses. None of us own one house, not one of us in the bookstore. And we're not wealthy people. We are book people.
Well, excellent. I think we've covered a lot of what I was hoping to talk to you all about today. Anything that I didn't ask about that I should be asking about? I always like to ask that at the end.
We're very excited. We are a little publishing house and have done a couple of books. Steve has written a number of books and published, and Emily, who we're very proud of, has illustrated. How many books have you illustrated now?
Sorry, I don't want to lie.
Enough that you got to take a moment to think and count.
Like eight.
Eight? Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, a major press and a nonprofit, I will say, Mountaineers, has gave her the opportunity to create a book wholly herself, illustrations and text. It's coming out this September. It's a big printing. It's going to be big all over the West, probably all over America because of the artwork. And we're just pleased. We're going to turn the shop into an art, you know, an art venue. And we'll have more than 100 of her works up, and her husband's as well, Jordan. And yeah, that's another thing we do. We love to do. That's what we're about. That's the fun of this place. You know, and we will make a living that month. September's a hard time to make a living in the book business.
Yeah, Emily's going to give us a nice bump there. Cascade of Life. Cascade of Life is the book.
Oh, that's what it's called.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a beautiful book. And I've seen the original artwork, and it's stunning
done. Thanks for the plug.
It tells you something about a workplace when you're that hyped to talk about something your coworker's doing.
Oh, my gosh. I had to run something over to her, to where she lives, and she was like, would you like a sneak peek at the... I was like, yes. So she like brings me in and shows me her where she's working and has just painting after painting after painting, and I was just, you know, my eyes are just popping out. I'm getting goosebumps, and it's happening again right now. I mean, yeah, I got this sneak peek. It's going to be a beautiful book.
Well, that is something I would like to say, is that Tsunami's been an amazing place to be an artist and grow as an artist in Eugene. I would not be where I am without having started here, and Tsunami offering me these opportunities to grow. Scott hates when I tell this story, but he gave me the money up front to invest in my first run of greeting cards to start selling my art more widely, so...
And I see a rack of them right over here.
Yes. So it's just been, it's not just a place you clock in and work retail. It's so much more than that. We're all like developing as people together here.
Well, thank you all for taking some time to sit down and chat with me today.
Hey, Zach. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
The very best here in Eugene.
That was Scott Landfield, Steve Ellerhoff, and Emily Poole of Tsunami Books. This has been Oregon Rainmakers from KLCC. I'm Zach Ziegler. Thanks for listening.